Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here. First of all, I want to say that I'm honored to be able to give this presentation for Dr. Diane Harris at CDC, who is not able to come to APHA this year. She is still sending emails about how upset she is that she's not here with all of us. I work with Diane on Let's Move Salabars to School, so it's really great to be able to do the presentation for her today. I don't have any financial disclosures, relationships. What we're going to cover in this presentation is an overview of Let's Move Salabars to Schools, where we are now kind of 2 years after launching with First Lady Michelle Obama, the evidence base, the characteristics of applicant schools over the first 2 years, and then the future directions. And as we get started, I just want to note a couple of things. Let's Move Salabars to Schools is an official initiative of First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative. CDC is the lead federal agency for Let's Move Salabars to Schools, so all of the official initiatives under Let's Move have a lead federal agency, and so CDC is the lead federal agency for this initiative. Speaking as a public health professional, I can just tell you that it's an incredible honor for all of us that are engaged in this initiative to be able to work with the White House and the staff at Let's Move and all of us together and with schools across the country. So it's really been an amazing, inspirational journey over the last 2.5 years. The Salabar initiative was started because it's an evidence-based strategy. It's an environmental change. And it's increasing kids' fruit and vegetable consumption. And so when we kind of get demoralized about certain kinds of things, we kind of keep kids and what's happening in schools and with kids and those positive things that we're seeing kind of first in our mind as we keep going. Right now, more than a million kids are benefiting from the Let's Move Salabars to School initiative, and thousands of school food service directors are being very, very creative over the last 2 years, and especially now with implementing the new school meal regs, very creative about how they're going to increase fruit and vegetables in the school food environment. And, you know, sometimes we hear all the negative press, but I just want to say there's a lot of really great stuff going on in schools. Oh, let me go back here. Sorry. The conclusions of this presentation are those of the author, Dr. Diane Harris, and not necessarily represent the views of CDC. Let's Move Salabars to Schools is a comprehensive public health effort to engage stakeholders at all levels, the local, state, national level, to support salabars in schools. Our goal is to increase kids, students, fruit and vegetable consumption by donating salabars to at least 6,000 schools over the next 3 years. What have we done so far? What's our progress? About 1,500 schools across the country have received salabars so far from Let's Move Salabars to Schools, and about 1,500 schools are waiting right now. And since we're in California, let me just mention something, data that relates to California. To date, we've had over 500 schools in California, just one state. I know it's the biggest state, but still. Over 500 schools in California have requested salabars through this initiative, and about 204 schools have received them so far. And under Let's Move Salabars to Schools, we've just now launched a special initiative for California called Let's Move Salabars to California Schools, where we're trying to raise enough funding to provide salabars to all the schools in California that are still waiting, which are 378 as of last Friday, between now and May 15th. So in the past, historically, we've done some of these special initiatives focused on a specific state. These are the Let's Move Salabars to School founding partners, my organization, United Fresh Produce Association, and our foundation, F3, Whole Foods Market, which has been incredibly active over the last 2 years and done tremendous work, and the National Fruit and Vegetable Alliance, where CDC's participation comes in. And these are all the partners and the members of the National Fruit and Vegetable Alliance. The First Lady launched Let's Move Salabars to Schools in November of 2010, and that's your author, Dr. Diane Harris, standing right behind the First Lady. and that we launched it in Miami. Why salad bars? Well, salad bars increase kids' fruit and vegetable consumption. It's an environmental change, increases access to a wide variety. They provide a colorful variety, appealing choices. It's about choice with kids. It's about variety. It's about letting them pick what they want. We've learned that from schools all over the country. And it's also one of the easiest ways for schools to implement the new school lunch regs, which require variety and really focus on kids and behavior change. They also help schools meet the Healthier U.S. School Challenge guidelines, and those schools are a priority for us. And they also make half a plate possible for kids to actually actualize that in the lunchroom. There's some of the evaluation data. The evidence some of the early evidence came out of Los Angeles. Los Angeles Unified School District, Dr. Wendy Slusser, found that salad bars increase the frequency of fruits and vegetables consumed during the day and lead to better diet quality. At Riverside Unified School District in Southern California, this is the CDC study. Students who chose the salad bar eat more servings of fruits and vegetables than students who choose the hot entree. And then the National Youth and Physical Activity Nutrition Study found that high school students who usually eat at the salad bar are more likely to eat two or more servings of fruit and three or more servings of vegetables. And I'm going to come to evaluation at the end. We have some very exciting news. This is the website, www.saladbarstoschools.org. You can take a look at that. Schools apply. So this presentation is going to focus on the characteristics of those schools that have applied and the districts that have applied. So school districts apply online. And so every school that's been funded, every application I'm talking about, they've all applied online. It's a really simple application. It's got 33 questions. It does require the approval of the nutrition services director and the superintendent and the principal to make sure that the salad bar will be used and there's a commitment to utilization. The priority in terms of funding schools is we prioritize the healthier U.S. schools first, those that have already been recognized by USDA, and then we prioritize based on percent of free and reduced and then commitment to implementation of the salad bars. The application is designed to give us, obviously, some basic demographic information, district characteristics, but to give us a sense, as much as you can do with an online application, to assess the capabilities and the capacity of the school districts to successfully implement the salad bars once they're donated. So district characteristics, demographics, district policies, a little bit of information about food served. And I have to admit, all this data was before the new school meal reg, so put that into perspective as we come to that. Food service operations, experience with salad bars, and food safety. So as of September 14th of this year, we had 2,945 applications from schools in 48 states and the District of Columbia. And this data is updated from the abstract. And just to give you a sense of looking at the country, and this is broken out by USDA regions. You can see on the top are the number of salad bars that have already been donated, the lower number, so say for the western part of the U.S. where we are now, 188 salad bars have been donated when this data was put together, and 718 schools had applied in that western region. You can take a look. I can say that CDC has been very concerned about the Southeast region and is actually going to be doing a training program for schools and state officials in the Southeast region because of the high levels of childhood obesity. And that program will be kicking off probably at the very beginning of the next year. So they've just gotten funding to be able to do that. This gives you just a really quick snapshot of where the salad bars that we've donated have gone around the country. So some quick characteristics. The average number of schools in a district are 17. The average number of kids per district, 4,700. So these are big districts, which means they're requesting usually large numbers of salad bars. About 50% of the kids are eligible for free and reduced. This is, again, across the whole country for the last 2 years. The average participation in the National School Lunch Program is 62%. And this is really interesting. 82% of the requests are coming in from school districts that have never had salad bars, so they don't have any experience at all. And we, you know, when we're always very interested in those school districts. We took a look at some of the district wellness policies. 49% have wellness policies that encourage kids to eat more, but one could say 51% don't. 66% of these districts include nutrition education, but again, you know, we have a very high amount that don't have any nutrition or didn't mention it on the application. And then 59% provide activities that promote increased fruit and vegetable consumption. The district, in terms of the average lunch period, 29 minutes, 9% offer fruits and vegetables in stores and vending, so a low percent, but again, you know, this is before some of the new regs, although we're still waiting for the competitive food regs to come out, the proposed regs. So some of these things are going to change because of national policies. And 63% provide education to the parents. Just a little bit of data on food served, and again, this is before the school meal reg, 41% served deep fat fried foods, 54% served only beans and peas only once a week, and dark green, orange vegetables were served only 4.6 times a month. So we would expect some of these to go down and some of these to go up when we collect this data the next time. Food service operations, this is important, I think. You know, the average amount of the federal reimbursement that's actually spent on food is about a dollar, and this in this data from these schools was about $1.08, but still very, very close to only a dollar being spent on food. And the limited amount of professional development for food service work, cafeteria and district food service directors. So even with these constraints, the schools still want to provide salad bars for their students. Thank you. The schools are engaged in food safety in etiquette. This is something that's really important. 59% are working on salad bar food safety etiquette for kids, and 70% of the kids have some way of washing their hands or sanitizing their hands. So in summary, the school districts all over the country, so there's been a tremendous, you know, tremendous amount of requests. If anything we get demoralized about is that we can't fund every school that we've got right now. And we're constantly, you know, in the kind of the fundraising mode, which is different for all of us, especially for CDC. So school districts all over the country want to implement salad bars and lunch programs. We've seen a lot of enthusiasm since just recently with the schools implementing the new school meal reg, but we saw that over the last 2 years as applications have come in as well. Only half of the districts have wellness policies. The kids only have about a half an hour to eat, so not a lot of time. That's across, you know, we see that everywhere. there's few fruits and vegetables outside of the cafeteria, so again, you know, the importance of really changing that school food environment, the cafeteria environment, increasing access to a wide variety of fruits and vegetables in a way that kids are actually going to take them and eat them. And the schools historically have served very few dark green and orange vegetables, which we're seeing those changes take place right now with the salad bars, and also now they're required to do that. So those are all really good things. I've already mentioned this. Most schools are doing salad bar food safety etiquette. The limitations of the study, it's a convenient sample. It's the online applications that have come in. Obviously, these districts are already interested in salad bars. That's why they're going to the trouble of applying. The data are entirely self-report, and not all respondents answered all questions, which really get to us sometimes when there's only 33 questions, and sometimes they can be putting in a request for, you know, a lot of cafeteria equipment, and they don't answer all the questions. So the conclusions are that there's an enthusiastic response from diverse schools all over the United States, that school food service directors are creatively trying to increase kids' fruit and vegetable access and consumption, and are doing a good job, and for all of us, we're trying to get those positive stories out there. And even with the limitations of not having much money for the for the federal reimbursement or the amount of that that goes towards food, the time they've got, the time that's actually allocated to kids to actually eat lunch, and the training, and the lack of cafeteria equipment beyond salad bars, they need all kinds of things. Schools are really interested in trying new approaches and are doing that every single day. This data provides a baseline to assess change going forward. And what we're constantly reminded of, all of the Let's Move Salad Bars partners, is how many schools are still waiting. The future directions, and this is very, very exciting, so besides doing a post-implementation survey of all of the districts next year, CDC has just awarded, through a cooperative agreement, an evaluation contract to Tulane University to actually evaluate Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools. We've been waiting for this for a long time, so we're really excited to be able to announce it and for CDC staff to begin to work with the key folks at Tulane University. Tulane University, I was so happy because New Orleans has been a recipient of a lot of salad bars, and we've been working with Tulane University from the very beginning. And of course, after Katrina, you know, it was a mess and schools were in terrible shape. And so there's been a lot of work done in New Orleans around food deserts and about improving schools. So it's really great that Tulane will be leading this evaluation effort going forward. The evaluation will look at the impact, the public health impact of salad bars. So do they increase kids' fruit and vegetable consumption? What kinds of things, what kinds of fruits and vegetables, the use, the variety, et cetera, the characteristics of successful implementation. We really want to be able to identify what are those key characteristics of schools that do a really great job so that we can provide those resource materials going forward to schools and work with those, our colleagues in states around the country to help on this initiative. And then the training, the knowledge, attitudes, behavior of food service staff. It's a big, the scope of the evaluation is very big, and we're hoping that within a year, a little bit more than a year, there'll be some data that can be shared. And for all of the Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools partners, we're really committed to increasing the prevalence of salad bars in U.S. schools as a strategy to increase children's fruit and vegetable intake. And this is a quote from Rodney Taylor, again, California. Rodney is what I consider, he's the food service director for Riverside Unified School District in Southern California, and he is the father of salad bars. He's been doing this a really long time, and everybody uses him as an authority. And this is one of his quotes: when food is fresh and user-friendly, when the salad bar smiles with colors and varieties, kids don't have to be coerced into eating more fruits and vegetables. So thank you very, very much.